From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. First, the headlines. Indonesia inducts two patrol ships to curb illegal fishing. Indonesia receives first shipment of vaccine through COVAX. Now the news in detail. Indonesia's Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Ministry has procured two new modern patrol vessels to strengthen its capability to protect the country's marine and fisheries resources from illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing activities. Director of Fleet Monitoring and Operations at the Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Ministry, Pung Nugroho Saksono, said the patrol ships, namely Hiu 16 and Hiu 17, will be deployed for routine patrols in the Malacca Strait and North Natuna Sea. He informed at the inauguration of the Hiu 16 patrol ship in Batam, Riau Islands province on Tuesday. The patrol ships have been fitted with drones to document efforts related to interception, security checks, and detention, besides other sophisticated and modern equipment. The Hiu 16 and Hiu 17 patrol vessels have been designed by the Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology, or BPPT, and built by PT Palindo Marine Batam. Indonesia received the first shipment of vaccine obtained from COVID-19 Vaccines Global Access Cooperation Scheme, the COVAX facility. A total of 1.1 million AstraZeneca vaccines arrived at Soekarno-Hatta Airport on Monday afternoon. In a press statement at Soekarno-Hatta Airport and monitored via the YouTube channel, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said the arrival of the vaccine from the multilateral route could not be separated from the cooperation between ministries and related institutions in Indonesia, and also cooperation with international parties. The minister emphasized that the government will continue to pursue this cooperation.
Diplomasi vaksin akan terus diperkuat.
Vaccine diplomacy will continue to be strengthened. Diplomacy will also continue to be steady to help the government's efforts to build health resilience and economic recovery. The vaccine shipment is the initial part of the first batch of vaccine shipment via multilateral route, reaching 11.7 million vaccines. The shipment of the first batch will run until May 2021. The arrival of the first vaccine through the COVAX facility was also witnessed by WHO representative in Indonesia, Navaratnasami Paranietaran, and UNICEF representative in Indonesia, Deborah Komini. The Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement between Indonesia and the European Union, or IEU-CEPA, which is currently negotiated, will increase trade and investment, contributing to job creation and economic development in Indonesia. It was said by the European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Vincent Piket, during a virtual working visit to Central Java on Tuesday. When asked by Voice of Indonesia on how IEU SEPA will increase trade during this pandemic situation, Ambassador Piket explained that this year, trade and investment are predicted to rise 18% for Indonesia, while the European Union will see a lower increase.
Now, this year, let's hope that we get the pandemic under control. If we do that, we expect that we will be able to recover quite a bit of the loss in trade of last year. So get back where we were 2 years ago. Not yet go back to increase, to growth in trade, but recovery is the word and build for the future. And that future is very good. And that I come back to this, the benefits of the SEPA agreement. Our studies have projected, at least Indonesia has these studies, and they were the basis for the start of the negotiations. Our studies forecast that the exports of Indonesia will go up by almost 18% thanks to the SEPA. For the EU, the exports will go up as well, but not as high as that. So you see here a good example of a growth-oriented trade agreement for both sides, but especially for Indonesia, and we welcome that very much.
Ambassador Piket added that last year, the overall trade of European Union and Indonesia lost 10% as a result of the pandemic, with less demand, less consumption, and less trade. Meanwhile, Indonesia palm oil import to the European Union market has experienced an increase during the pandemic. The European Union continues to enhance its relations and cooperation with the Indonesian government. Previously, the business event to Maluku had taken place in the end of 2020, and after Central Java, the European Union delegation will visit the provincial governments of South Sumatra and East Kalimantan. Now we move to the international news. The United States should reconsider withdrawing troops from Afghanistan by May 1st, Senate Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Robert Menendez told reporters. In a letter leaked earlier this week, Secretary of State Antony Blinken told Afghan President Ashraf Ghani the U.S. is considering whether to withdraw troops by May 1st. Blinken said the U.S. has not ruled out any options to establish peace between Kabul and the Taliban. President Joe Biden's team has not made the final decision yet whether to fulfill former President Donald Trump's deal with the Taliban and withdraw all remaining 2,500 U.S. troops by May 1st. The deal with the Taliban was made in February 2020 under Trump and provisioned two important parts. The Islamist group must put an end to violent actions against Afghan citizens and cut all ties with Al-Qaeda, a terrorist group outlawed in Russia. At the moment, the Taliban is the most formidable armed group fighting both the U.S. and the Afghan government. The International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, or IFRC, warned of problems in efforts to distribute COVID-19 vaccines in the world. The IFRC said in a press release that nascent efforts to ensure fair and equitable distribution of COVID-19 vaccines would fail unless a deadly gap in global immunization policy and funding was filled promptly. According to the IFRC, much of the focus of governments and other donors has been on procuring and distributing vaccines between countries, including via the COVAX facility. While the procurement and international distribution of vaccines is crucial, too little thought is being given to how those vaccines will be distributed within countries, including how isolated and hard-to-reach communities will be included in immunization campaigns. IFRC President Francesco Rocca said initiatives like COVAX ensure that vaccines will reach the tarmacs of airports in the capital cities of participating countries are inarguably important. United Nations Human Rights Division is concerned about the possibility of a new wave of violence in the Central African Republic in connection with the second round of the legislative elections scheduled for March 14. Office of UN High Commissioner for Human Rights spokesperson Rafina Samdasani said in a press briefing on Tuesday, UN calls for an end to violence from both national security forces and the CPC. Samdasani added that the UN Human Rights Division in CAR documented 185 cases of human rights violations in the period from October 1 to December 31, 2020. During the first round of the elections, with CPC being responsible for over 86% of them. The first round of elections on December 27 was precluded by violent protests from CPC militants, resulting in the killing of 14 people and sieging of the capital Bangui. The post-electoral period was marked by the National Security Forces offensive in retaliation against the CPC groups on February 15th. We end the news with police in the Greek capital of Athens that have employed tear gas and water cannons as heated clashes broke out, a rally against police brutality. Residents of Athens suburb Nea Smyrni have been taking to the streets since March 7 when a video emerged of police officers brutalizing a man with batons for no apparent reason. According to Greek newspaper Ekaterini, around 5,000 people participated in the initial rally before the violence broke out. The rally through the streets of the suburbs, which began in the afternoon, turned into a violent clash that has left at least two police officers injured, social media posts show. One officer was seen lying on the street bloodied and immobile before other officers applied first aid and took him away. Protesters used flares and set garbage containers and trees on fire, while police turned to tear gas and water cannons to disperse the crowds. Well, listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
The United Nations is paying special attention to International Women's Day on 9 March. This year, the UN published a report on the importance of paying attention to women who are suffering from conflict and war, as well as the impact of COVID-19 pandemic. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, UN OCHA, is particularly concerned with refugees in Yemen. According to UN OCHA, the prolonged conflict in the Middle East, especially in Syria, has displaced 4 million people mainly to Yemen. Of the millions of refugees, nearly three-quarters are women and children. These women are forced to struggle to support their families in the midst of suffering in refugee camps. Attention to women in various countries is also given by the World Health Organization, WHO. It has issued a statement which is very concerning. The UN agency says one out of three women across the globe has suffered from physical or sexual violence in her lifetime. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus revealed that there was a surprising data showing that violence against women increased in numbers during the COVID-19 pandemic. In connection with this sad reality, both UN OCHA and WHO are calling for steps to defend women's rights and strive to create an equal future for them. In addition to calling for prevention of the suffering of women, especially in refugee camps, as well as violence in everyday life, the UN asks governments of various countries to make efforts from an early age. A concrete step that can be taken is to instill awareness of women's equality since in school. Through educational program, male students are given an understanding and awareness of the importance of equality for women. The notes issued by the United Nations Agency in the context of World Women's Day certainly need the attention of governments around the world, whether it's in developed, developing, and economically underdeveloped countries, as well as countries hit by prolonged conflict. An indication of increasing violence against women during the COVID-19 pandemic, reminding all parties not to only concentrate on healthcare and prevention against it. It is very important to make efforts to overcome the impacts that arise from an economic perspective, because as stated by WHO, bad economic condition can encourage more violence against women.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on March 10, 1906, when explosion happened in Corrières mine, France. Corrières mine explosion in the north of France on March 10, 1906 is one of the worst industrial accidents in history. The disaster caused the death of 1,099 miners. Around 500 miners could reach the surface for several hours after the explosion. Many of them suffered from burns and the effects of mining gases. Until now, the cause of the explosion remains unknown. Moving on to an event on March 10, 1950 about Gunting Shafruddin monetary policy. Gunting Shafruddin is a monetary policy which was set by Shafruddin Prawiranegara, the Ministry of Finance, in the second Hatta cabinet. It took effect on March 10, 1950. According to the policy, red money or NICA money and the Deutsche Bank money from 5 rupiah denominations and above were cut into two. From March 22 to April 16, the left side of the money had to be exchanged for new bank notes at the banks and designated places. More than that date, the left side was no longer valid. The right clippings were declared invalid, but could be exchanged for government bonds at half of their original value and would be paid 40 years later with interest of 3% a year. We end Today in History with an event on March 10, 1977, when Indonesia's Palapa A2 satellite was launched from the U.S. Kennedy Space Center. Palapa A2 is an Indonesian communication satellite operated by Perumtel. Palapa A2 was launched on March 10, 1977 aboard the Delta 2914 rocket and has been operating in orbit since March 11, 1977. Palapa A2 is part of the Palapa A1 and A2 communication satellite program. Palapa A2 satellite was intended as a backup and ready to operate if Palapa A1 failed or if market demand could no longer be accommodated by Palapa A1. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Bukan salahmu bila diriku tak tahu bagaimana caranya mencintai. Bukannya aku tak cinta kamu, tak menyayangimu dengan sepenuh hatiku. Oh cintaku, biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkanku bijaksana dalam memaknai dan memahami. Oh, bersabarlah hingga tiba di suatu masa aku bisa jadi yang terbaik dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu. Ini salahku, kekuranganku yang mencintaimu dengan cara yang berbeda. Dapatkah kamu merasakannya? Bahwa hatiku ini milik kamu seorang, milikmu sayang. Biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkanku bijaksana dalam memaknai dan memahami. Oh, bersabarlah hingga tiba di suatu masa aku bisa jadi yang terbaik dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu.
Duhai sayang, tiada cinta seindah cinta, cinta yang tulus yang mengajarkan bijaksana dalam memaknai hati ini.
Oh, biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkanku bijaksana dalam memaknai dan memahami. Oh, bersabarlah hingga tiba di suatu masa aku bisa jadi yang terbaik dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu. Semoga kamu memaafkanku, menerima segala kekuranganku. Semoga Tuhan memberi waktu bagiku untuk membalas kasih sayangmu.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia welcomes the result of Switzerland's referendum on AI-CEPA. Some 51.6% of Swiss supported the implementation of AI-CEPA and agreed to ratify the trade agreement in a referendum on Sunday. AI-CEPA is a comprehensive economic partnership between Indonesia and European Free Trade Association or EFTA member countries such as Switzerland, Norway, Iceland, and Liechtenstein. The agreement was signed in 2018 after going through 50 negotiations. After the signing, each country needs to ratify the agreement. Two countries had finished the ratification, namely Norway and Iceland. Previously, the ratification in Switzerland faced rejection in the form of a petition from a Swiss NGO because of Indonesian palm oil commodity accused of harming the environment. According to the Swiss law, the agreement ratification therefore needed public agreement through referendum. AI-CEPA includes the trade of goods, services, investment, as well as capacity building, so that Indonesian products can gain market access in form of tariff exemption and reduction concession. Therefore, Indonesian products will be more competitive in EFTA markets. Indonesia will receive the exemption of 7,042 tariff posts in Switzerland and Liechtenstein, 6,388 in Norway, and 8,100 in Iceland. Indonesia's total export to EFTA in 2020 was $3.4 billion, with $1.6 billion surplus for the country. Responding to the Swiss referendum, Indonesian Trade Minister Muhammad Lutfi in a statement on Monday stated the readiness of Indonesia to cooperate in trade and investment increase under AI-CEPA. The agreement recognizes the spirit of cooperation, mutual respect and mutual benefits for Indonesia's top products, the palm oil and its derivatives. Minister Lutfi also emphasized that the referendum has a special meaning for the strive of Indonesia and Switzerland in ensuring an open and just trade becomes the pillar in the trade agreement. He also remarked that Switzerland is an important trade and economic partner for Indonesia and vice versa. With this, the two countries' trade will increase. The minister also explained that with the AI-CEPA ratification by Switzerland, Indonesia will quicken the ratification at the parliament so that it can be implemented soon. Meanwhile, Coordinating Ministry for Economy Airlangga Hartarto said the negative campaign against the palm oil commodities lacked support from the Swiss public during the AI-CEPA ratification. Erlangga said, therefore, the Swiss referendum showed international recognition for Indonesia's consistency and commitment in implementing sustainable development principles.
Katakan ku tak cinta isi hatiku hanyalah sayang. Perasaanku tak lebih dan tak kurang menganggapmu sahabat terindah. Paksa dia di sana, persahabatan yang telah terbina jangan ternoda oleh cinta. Bukan maksudku lukai hatimu, katakan ku tak cinta. Rasa itu tak pernah ada. Ta-ra-ra, ta-ra-ta-ra-ta-ra-ta-ra.
Welcome to the new normal. Now, we are facing uncertainties. Uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear a mask everywhere. Always keep your distance when doing activities. And avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Pulau Air is the oldest train station in West Sumatra. After 44 years, it did not operate, the station will be reactivated. The plan is that the station is used for access to a number of tourism areas. A budget of 40 billion rupiah is prepared to revive the Pulau Air station along a new 2.5 km rail network to Padang Station. One of them is Muaro Port, which is the entrance to Mentawai Island. The reopening of Pulau Air Station coincides with the presence of Minangkabau International Airport with airport train facilities, the Minangkabau Express. Quoted from the book History of Indonesian Railways, Pulau Air Station was part of the first railway network on the island of Sumatra. The network was completed in 1891 by Sumatra Staatspoorwegen, the railroad, service of the Dutch East Indies government in Sumatra. The train line starts from Pulau Air Station to Padang Panjang, which covers a distance of about 70 km. The line continues to Bukit Tinggi City, about 90 km. This route was officially used on October 1, 1892, in conjunction with the operation of the Port Emmahaven, which is now known as Teluk Bayur Harbor. The existence of this railway network cannot be separated from the existence of a coal mine in Ombilin, Sawahunto City, in 1868 by the leading geologist of the Dutch East Indies, Willem Hendrik de Graeff. Initially, the route was used to transport coal, plantation products, and passengers to the ports of Muaro and Emmahaven in Padang. The name Padang Station is the new name for Simpang Haro Station, which is the main Minangkabau Express station. The efforts to revive the Pulau Air Station train line is not an easy matter. PT Kereta Api Indonesia or KAI has also replaced all railroad rails with a new model and rebuilt new buildings and guardrails along the railroad tracks. Meanwhile, the old Pulau Air station building has been maintained and added with a new building, which is equipped with a number of facilities such as the station head's room, a special room for lactation, prayer rooms, toilets, and a new platform. The station is also equipped with parking lots for 15 cars and 14 motorbikes. The station is also fastest access to the Kota Lama area and Kampung Cina, the heritage tourism object of Padang City.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is still about lingkungan rumah, which means neighborhood. So stay tuned. Listen to the conversation entitled Bertanya Nomor Rukun Tetangga atau RT, which means asking the number of neighborhood unit or RT. This conversation is between Kevin and Boris, his new neighbor. They are the same age. Boris wants to know the number of his neighborhood unit or RT.
Berapa nomor RT kita?
04.
Having listened to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Berapa, berapa, which means how many. Nomor, nomor, which means number. RT kita, which means our neighborhood unit. Berapa nomor RT kita? Berapa nomor RT kita? Which means, what is our neighborhood unit number? In the dialogue, you listen to a question, berapa nomor RT kita? Berapa nomor RT kita? Which means, what is our neighborhood unit number? In Indonesian language, the question word berapa, berapa, which means how many, is used to ask the number. The question word berapa, berapa, which means how many, can be also placed in the end of a question. For example, nomor RT kita berapa? Nomor RT kita berapa? Which means, what is our neighborhood unit number? Here are the other examples of asking number. Berapa nomor RT kita? Berapa nomor RT kita? Which means, what is our neighborhood unit number? 04, 04, which means 04. Nomor RT kita berapa? Nomor RT kita berapa? Which means, what is our neighborhood unit number? 04, 04, which means 04. Neighborhood unit or RT is marked with number. For example, RT01, RT02, and RT03. In every sub-district or village, usually RT starts with number 01. RT number is often written in a house address. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Berapa nomor RT kita?
04.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Tapi ku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku. pergi dengan yang lain. Hati ini kau buat mati. Lelahku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati. Tak ada yang lebih perih dari ini. Oh, 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 oh. Kau yang lelapkan aku dari masa laluku. Kau katakan padaku hanya aku di hatimu. Tapi ku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku. Kau pergi dengan yang lain. Hati ini kau buat mati. Lelah ku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati. Tak ada yang lebih perih dari ini. Oh, 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 oh.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, this is Rahma. I would like to present a song from Gayo Aceh entitled Tawar Sadenge. The area of Gayo, Central Aceh Regency, is known for its coffee, which has been known worldwide. Gayo has other natural resources too. The people are invited to protect their natural wealth. One of them is through the song Tawar Sadenge. The song, which is often performed in many celebrations and ceremonies in Gayo, was composed by a Gayo artist named A.R. Mose. The lyrics of the song, Tawar Sadenge, invite the people of Gayo to protect and cultivate their natural resources, such as pine trees, coffee, and tobacco. All of these natural resources are God's mercy for Gayo people. Therefore, Gayo people are encouraged to work hard to cultivate their natural wealth, so that they become host in their own country. Well, listener, here is the song Tawar Sadenge by A.R. Mose. Happy listening!
Oh,
We end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.